So is it the international community fiddling while Benghazi burns, or did they send in the cavalry at the last minute? You heard there from Tripoli, a sense that the United Nations Security Council 10-0, with Russia and China abstaining, to impose a no-fly zone and take, quote, all necessary measures to stop Colonel Gaddafi attempts to put down the rebellion by civilians in Libya, caught Gaddafi by surprise in the city of Tripoli. But what are the rebels in Libya to make of the time it took to get the UN Security Council to endorse those military options against Gaddafi? A no-fly zone may slow down Gaddafi's plans to retake Benghazi, as he's claimed he's going to do over the next 48 hours. But can anything stop him militarily at this point? Joining us now, as he often does, is David Sanger, New York Times chief Washington correspondent. And on Monday, David, of course, hosts the Washington Report on New York public radio station WQXR. He joins us from Washington, D.C. David Sanger, good morning.
Good morning, John.
So has the administration sort of taken a plan off the shelf here? And are we going to see details of an actual implementation of a no-fly zone over the weekend?
Well, we've seen somebody take a plan off the shelf, and the French, in fact, say that they expect action within hours. The best guess right now is that while the U.S. would certainly be a major player in this, that the French and the British may actually be doing spearheading the first part of the effort. But, you know, as you said before, the question is one of timing. Obviously, Gaddafi's got the upper hand now in a way that he didn't a week ago. And, you know, when the history of this remarkable week is written, it may be that when we look back at both the Japanese nuclear crisis and this, people are going to be saying these are things that would have been a lot easier to do 7 days ago than they may be now.
Interesting. David Sanger, a chief Washington correspondent whose byline is on the New York Times coverage of the Japan quake aftermath and this Libya story. Let's run down the military details just for 1 second, David. The Sixth Fleet is based in Italy, I believe, and the Brits have an air base in Cyprus that they can operate from. Where do you think this will be coordinated as far as the Pentagon is concerned? Any details at this point?
You know, the White House was saying very little yesterday, and so I suspect you'll hear a lot more from them today. The National Security Council was meeting last night. We know that the president, although we only know this in the Europeans, not from the White House, the president spoke with both the British prime minister and with the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy. This does show you, though, a difference when you think back to 8 years ago this week when the U.S. was leading the invasion into Iraq. President Obama first wanted to make sure that there was a Security Council resolution that explicitly offered up the all-necessary means, the words you referred to at the beginning.
Right.
And secondly, he wants to make sure that the U.S. is not in the lead here. And you may recall that last weekend the Arab League sort of got this ball rolling by calling explicitly for the no-fly zone. And it was only then that you heard President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton make the case that the Arab League couldn't simply have a resolution in this. They had to have skin in the game. So one of the really interesting questions is who in the Arab League will actually go to participate and enforce this? And we've seen some interesting divisions in the past couple of hours. Qatar has said it would participate. Norway has said it would participate. Germany has said it would not.
Well, as you were referring to, David, the language of the resolution seems to leave open a pretty broad range of military actions. I mean, they could bomb their missile defense, their air defense systems. They could actually shoot from the ships that are out there near Libya. I'm wondering if that's part of the hesitation on the part of countries like Germany, that they're afraid that this resolution actually allows for military invasion of boots on the ground.
Well, it's not clear that it allows for boots on the ground, but it's clearly the wording does seem to allow for what one would call a no-drive zone. I mean, let's all be clear about this. A no-fly zone, what we were talking about last week, would be pretty laughably ineffective this
right.
week.
Yeah.
And most of these attacks have happened on the ground. They have not required a huge amount of Libyan air support. So somehow you've got to stop the tanks, you've got to stop the artillery that have been used by the Gaddafi forces and his mercenaries and others. And that certainly does mean at least taking them out from the air. And you don't want to do that until you have started by taking out their entire air defense system.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. This is a rich country. Gaddafi loves to buy weapons. The supposition on the part of the Pentagon is that he has maybe a not terribly modern air force, but a very up-to-date anti-aircraft system around Tripoli and even possibly Benghazi. A no-drive zone would best get us just a siege of that second-largest city. Right, David?
Probably would, and there is some suggestion that siege is sort of what Gaddafi had in mind here anyway. But this gets back to the warning that I think we discussed on the show a few weeks ago after Secretary of Defense Gates gave his testimony in Congress. And he said, make no mistake about it. There's, you know, something about a no-fly zone that sounds antiseptic. It starts with an attack on the anti-aircraft system.
What is the U.S. role at this point in monitoring both the nuclear situation in Japan and in really helping the Japanese with what is turning out to be an extraordinarily, almost unprecedented relief effort to recover from the tsunami and earthquake?
You know, the U.S. role has been one of first providing, obviously, support for the recovery. And you've seen American ships off of off there and a lot of helicopters being used for that purpose. On the nuclear side, just yesterday, the U.S. got its first flights going of a series of basically spy flights that have been launched with the permission of the Japanese government so that we could get some fairly sophisticated equipment up over the site. And that enabled the first readings of radioactivity over a fairly broad area. And the good news out of that was that the significant radioactivity on the ground was still within that 20-mile or so zone, exclusion zone, that the Japanese set a number of days ago. This morning, the Japanese have raised the level of the emergency to about that of the Three Mile Island case.
All right, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, talking about satellite photos, which will certainly add to the image of devastation there in Japan as part of the U.S. effort to assist the Japanese. David Sanger reporting on Japan and the reaction in Libya to the UN Security Council's 10-0 vote on a no-fly zone. Thank you, David.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.